Hey guys, this is MedicX21, and this is the Medic Knows Nothing podcast, the podcast where I sit on Google and YouTube for a couple of minutes, try to figure things out, make up a whole bunch of things, and then ramble about it for a really long time. I also said it's going to be a debate podcast, but I have no friends. So if you want to hear me debate with someone, be that someone. Let me know in Discord if you're interested in arguing with me. But let's make some intro noise and get on with our topics. All right, guys. So I'm doing another ramble episode. I'm hoping to get like a few recordings done, and then hopefully we'll start with the debate stuff coming in the next few episodes. But I wanted to kind of really start testing the waters on my softwares and uploading and getting stuff in the queue and whatnot. So here's another episode of me rambling with some stuff. But I'm excited to talk about this one. And it's about cloud gaming. And if you're not familiar with what cloud gaming is, essentially it's being able to have a gaming computer, play on a gaming computer, but not have a gaming computer. And this isn't like an Nvidia Shield or something like this. This is a basically a full-blown gaming desktop. Windows experience. In fact, in most situations, unlimited Windows experience. However, it's remotely hosted at a data center. So you get to have basically the newest equipment, the fastest equipment, super fast internet and download speeds, but not have to have the actual physical computer. And to be honest, when I first heard about this, my immediate first thought was, well, that's dumb. And I guess the reason why I first thought that was because one of my first experiences, the first thought in my head to compare that to was using my Steam Link in home. And the Steam Link, although it sounded like a neat idea and I was super excited to get one, it was just garbage. It sucked. But that was really an unfair comparison because you were limited with the interface in which it could use, how it connected over your network, the type of network you have. So it was really unfair of me to think of that at first. And then I kind of looked into a little bit more, and I was also, one of the things that I thought about was not only your limitations on your software, but your latencies. And when I thought about it, I was like, well, in my home network, where I could really just have the fastest internet possible and between my two connections, there were still ever so slight latencies to it. And I'm like, I can't imagine how this would be conducted over the internet. Like, this isn't a thing. Like, this will only work for people who absolutely can't afford a gaming computer and who want to play, like, maybe Minecraft. And so I sat down and I said, well, I've been hearing more and more about it. Now, this was, like, when I first heard about cloud gaming, this would have been, like, the NVIDIA cloud. And this was at least a few years ago that I heard it. And I just kind of put it in the back burner, said this won't work. And especially for gaming PCs, gaming type PC gaming infrastructures, you know. I'm like, console gaming, like, hey, those nerds will never know, so, you know, go ahead, Sony. But no, I just, as somebody who's not really an enthusiast, but on the higher end side of gaming, I was just like, this will never work. This is such a silly thing. It will never work out. And over the last few months, I've been seeing this company Shadow become more and more popular and talked about more and more frequently. And so I looked into a little bit, and they talk about how good their infrastructure is and how really low latency it can be and how they're setting up their data centers. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, maybe it's okay. So I decided to look into it. So when I talk about it in this episode, I'm going to be referring to Shadow. I looked into Shadow because when I looked at some of the other companies, I feel like Shadow's ahead of them by quite a bit. And competitive pricing, good hardware, and I just feel like that would be the one to do this comparison to, because if I used anything else, then my rebuttal about how much better owning your own computer is would just smoke the other companies. That I feel like Shadow's the only one that even has a leg right now. So when it comes to using a cloud service, a Shadow, for example, versus owning your own computer. I mean, some similar things is you have the newer equipment, provided you build your own computer and you like to use newer equipment, right? It has newer or comparably newer equipment. So when I say newer equipment, I do have to kind of put the little asterisk there because it says like comparable to a 1080 and fast processors. But when I looked into it and looked into the reviews, you were getting about 6 cores from Xeon processors with core speeds around 2.6 gigahertz was the more common ones, but I've seen lower than 2.6. I don't think I saw any at 3 gigahertz. But 6 cores is kind of cool, I guess, you know. But and then the graphics cards were 1060 comparisons, because I guess when you have to think about the infrastructure, they can't have just a whole bunch of desktops sitting around for people to remote into, right? They have to do what's most cost effective. That's going to be setting up essentially like data farms. I don't know exactly what the best term would be, but you essentially have to have lots of really good cards, lots of available cores on CPU, and then sharing those resources available with as many remote machines as you can to really get the most cost effective situation to occur. So it's already kind of off to a rocky start because, yeah, you kind of get a 1080 and you kind of get a 6-core CPU. It's just not going to be the same as if you built your own computer. So I had to keep looking into it because I'm like, I just would rather build my own. So I was struggling to find like the positive things about it, you know? So I'm like, well, why would one want these? What are the positive things? All I can think about is latency, not having the right equipment, you know, just settling with whatever they give me, and monthly costs, right? Well, the monthly cost for Shadow is $34.95. So I did a lot of my math. At $35, so sorry about the nickel there, but at $35 a month, when you think of like the cost of your cell phone, I mean that's really that's for probably a lot of people that's way less than what they spend on a cell phone. I'm one of the weird guys who got a prepaid phone, or like I got a good network, but I do prepaid because I found it's just so much cheaper to do it that way. That's a totally different episode right there, but even at that, it's still less than what my cell phone costs me, right? And that's a you with Shadow, you get a full-fledged computer. You get full-fledged Windows. It's not like you're not stuck in like with the Steam Link, you're stuck in only using Steam's big picture mode, and you're stuck in just that, you know? With Shadow, you get a Windows 10 computer. You can do whatever on it, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I mean, the parts are okay. $35 a month, that's not bad. And I guess if you really think about it, depending where you live or you know your situations, like you don't have power costs, so that's nice. Depending on the type of computer, the type of beast you're using, and how much you plan to use it, you don't have to worry about power costs or even a power pool. Maybe you don't. You're like me. You have terrible electric in your home, so you just like can't really plug into anything. Like you're just running out of outlets everywhere. So not having that extra pool is also a benefit. And you know, all you really need, they have a device you can use. However, when I was setting this up and trying to look at it, I found like some reviews on it, but you can't find it or buy it anywhere. I guess they have something newer coming out, but I have no clue what the cost would be. But I do know it's small. It's a very small device. So essentially, if you've just got a monitor or TV and your keyboard and mouse, just like you'd already have to have if you had a gaming desktop, right? You can plug this dongle up behind the TV or computer or whatever, and you're good to go. Or you could go the, I guess, the freer method on that, which would be is if you have a laptop or desktop of any type, really, as long as it could handle their software, you would be able to do this. Now, this is again where I go, well, what kind of computer do you have to have? And I know it's unfair because I really don't know the requirements for the app, the true requirements for the apps to be able to be playing at 1080. But I know that on my Steam Link, the computer that I would use if I want to do like a computer to computer, the receiving computer would still have to have like a decent processor to be able to decode that information coming through. So when it comes to their app, I don't know how good of a computer. Like I know obviously it doesn't have to be a gaming computer, but I don't know like will a $50 laptop work for you, or do you need like a $200 laptop? And that's where I don't know, and I was having trouble finding information on their app to really, and I couldn't find anybody doing it. They were all using the shadow their device. You know, I couldn't find anybody using computers to do this, to really find out, like, low-end computers, can you do it? So it sounds neat. Like, you can get new equipment. You don't have to pay for everything up front. You don't have to pay for power. You don't really have to worry about having this big old desktop or anything around you. But, you know, when I looked at, like, the cost, though, like, at first it was appealing, $35 a month. Hey, that's pretty appealing. But then I sat down and did some math. The math is going to hurt when I tell you about it. I'm an equity guy. When I get something, I look at it as, how much does this cost me now? What will it be worth later on? And what can I flip it for? And I do that with my graphics cards, my CPUs, just straight up. I can't say that I flip laptops and desktops, but I frequently have, I refer to it as my weekend computer or my dining room table computer. And it is absurd, but I work on the weekends. So when I travel to work, I take a computer with me, and sometimes I have a laptop, sometimes I have a desktop, and I will actually take that device, I will use it, but I will also put it on a market to sell it. And I typically sell it at either flip it for something of similar value, so I may go to a laptop to a desktop, or I sell it at a profit, whatever the profit is. And the beauty of it is because I use it, but it's an extra computer, I can wait months and I don't have to feel like I have to sell this, because I don't have to sell it. I'm using it and it works and it's fine. If I can sell it for a profit, great. And if not, well, I'm still using it. So I hold equity on it and I'm still using it. So regardless of anything, I'm all set. So I like to have that extra computer. I couldn't imagine just using like a dongle and paying like a monthly subscription. And so I'm an equity guy. I need that equity, right? Another problem with the cloud gaming is, although I couldn't find a list of games, I did find at least one review where they had said that there were issues with some games. And what I'm wondering is if that's talking about some of the games where they have like anti-cheat programs where they block additional screens. For example, I used my Steam Link. When I very first got it, I was playing Ark a lot. Loved Ark, played thousands of hours of Ark. And when I first got it, the first game that I tried with my Steam Link was Ark, and I played it on my TV, thought it was pretty neat, hated the controller. I'm terrible at controllers, but I was like, hey, this Steam Link is pretty neat. And then I kind of didn't really touch my Steam Link for quite a few months and decided to come back to it. And I wanted to play some Ark, and I went to boot up Ark. Ark wouldn't play. Now, I could control everything. I could hear sound. I had no video. And when I researched it, I found that it was the anti-cheat program from Ark was blocking the capture for the streaming device. You couldn't play Ark. And I went to multiple threads, tried admin modes, all sorts of things. I just found out like it blocks the anti-cheat, blocks it. So I'm wondering if the games that I heard some of the reviewers say that there are some games that may not work, I'm wondering if those are the games that they're talking about. And I don't really know how many of those that there are, but if you're somebody who's subscribing to the service and you find out that the game you want to play, you can't play, it's kind of a deal breaker, because if you just built your own computer, you do whatever you want with it. Hell, you could go run a bunch of VMs on it and have Linux and all sorts of whatever you feel like doing with it, right? Whereas with the cloud, you're limited. You have Windows 10, that's what you got. You know, you might be able to do a VM in it, I'm not really sure. But, you know, like you're limited. You can't add hardware. I think 256 gigs is what they give you with their standard platform. So, like, that's not a lot of space. Like, I minimally put a terabyte in storage in my computers. Like, minimally, they all have a terabyte plus whatever SSD I use for operating system. So I couldn't imagine only having 256 available storage. Like, I don't know if that includes your operating system or not, but I couldn't imagine only having 256 gigs available. So you're limited on that. And when it says like the newer rated hardware, I don't know, like, so they're kind of comparing them to 1080s right now, but how long will it be until they up? I mean, because that's a lot of money that they had to put into their infrastructure, right? So while everyone else is getting 2070s right now, how long will you be stuck with the 1080 comparable performance? Will you ever get something like RTX? Would their data center, their setup ever be able to support something like that? Or are they already stuck and not going to be able to progress, you know? So that's just, you have to figure out, you know, I don't know what type of cards that they're using and how their infrastructure is set up, but you know, when the new cards come out, if you're somebody who wants to get a new card, if you're using a subscription platform, you're just stuck waiting, right? So things that I like about a desktop, you know, I got into it, you know, was that I can build it the way that I want, right? If I need a 1080, I can put a 1080 in it. But with this service, you're paying for the 1080. But if all you really need is a 1060, then why pay for 1080 service? You know, and it's one of those like, well, hey, like you're getting better than what you're paying for. It's like, well, no, because if I built it, it would have been even cheaper. Because I'm gonna get into prices, man. Boy, am I. So like you're paying for things you don't need, 6 cores. But if you're only playing games that are really only using 2 cores, you're not doing anything else with it. Do you need a six cores? And again, they're Xeons too. So it's not like you're not getting like what you'd be getting on Intel, 4, 4.5 gigahertz. Like you're not getting those with the Xeons. Again, I think 2.6 was the highest I think I saw. So you're not getting great CPU performance on them. Again, they have their infrastructure. Like I get it, I understand it. I'm just saying, you know, like. Think I'd rather still kind of rather build mine and kind of difficult to sell me on it, you know what I mean? So you get equity in all your parts, you build it with the parts you want, upgrade it as you go, when you want, how you want to upgrade it, right? And other things that I saw too was I guess the latency, although they talk about having incredibly low, near non-noticeable latency, I did find one reviewer who appears to have quite a few hours in using it, does fairly like the server. He was not shitting on the server service at all, but he was saying that quite frequently he would play it and end up developing quite a bit of nausea. And he says he thinks that that has something to do with the latency. And so if you're somebody who does get motion sick, you're somebody who struggles with something like that, like you're definitely not going to be able to use something like this. And I just don't know if you'll ever get to that latency low enough to where it won't affect you, you know? And also, I don't know what data center he was hooked up to, how what his latency was, you know, but those are things on it. So the what really like made me want to do this episode was not that I just kind of kept seeing it, because I see ads for lots of things and then I just kind of don't care. What really got my gears spinning was I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I didn't ask him if I could say his name in the podcast. So he's been busy. I was going to see if he wanted to be on the podcast, but he was busy. But he was the one who kind of reintroduced me. Like I was hearing it, but kind of ignoring everything. He's like, hey, dude. Have you heard of Shadow? And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's one of those cloud gaming knockoff things. He's like, oh no, the reviews are pretty good on it. You know, there's a video from Linus Tech Tips, or there's quite a few videos coming out. It's only, you know, it's less than $35 a month. You get basically a GTX 1080 and a 6-core processor. And it's only $35 a month. You know, it's so much better than so many computers that are out there. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, what about the latency? He's like, oh, well, there's data centers all over. The latency is super low. And I'm like, all right, maybe it's time to revisit this. So let's say, for sake of things, that it was basically the equivalent to a desktop. Let's say you didn't have to worry about your latency. Let's say really just price was the difference. Should you cloud game or build your own? Well, if I told you that you could build a computer with a 2600 Ryzen CPU, an RX 2060, a 120 gig SSD, a 1 terabyte hard drive, slap an AIO on it, 16 gigs of RAM, and it costs you, give or take, around, I did my math at $980, but I actually just got done doing research and the stuff about the RTX cards, and I've already found that my $980 price tag is even higher than what you could do right now. So all my math is done for $980, but you could build a desktop the same as this for less than that. So $980. If I sat here and I was like, all right, what would you rather? $35 a month or $980 a month? And when I first said that, I was like, well, I mean, that sounds pretty simple. I mean, I'm a simple guy. I'm just going to do 35 times 12, and 35 times 12 is $420 a year. So, psh, there you go. Like half the less than half the cost right there. Like, I mean, problem solved right there. Cloud gaming. Solve the latency thing. Depending where you live, you got low latency, high internet speed. $420 a year, boom. I mean, you're good to go, dude. Like, why on earth would you want to build a desktop now? I mean, with graphics cards costing almost $400, having to have to RMA your equipment when you have issues, just dealing with the equipment in a house, depending on where you live, how you live, and stuff like that. Like, why would you want to build a desktop when for $420 a year, you get the same as what you were going to build, right? And then I was like, that's just too simple right there. That this, I mean, $420 a year, that's nice and all, but I still want to own. I'm a guy, I've got to have my stuff. I want my stuff. Like, I want, like, if they just shut down their service halfway through the year, I don't want to have, yes, I'll have gotten use out of it. Yes, I got to do whatever I wanted to do with equipment, like having a 1080 and all that and stuff like that. But if just one day the data center's off, so I got nothing, or I can't afford my subscription anymore. That's it. It's gone. It's done. Got nothing. Nothing for it except the memories of my use. And I guess if you're somebody who's very productive, maybe you did monetize off of it. Maybe you were able to work from this and it cost you substantially less than what you made. Then okay, I guess. But I still feel like you'd be better off building your own. The reason being is that what if I told you at 2 years of having this cloud service, you're at $840. Okay. Well, you're probably looking at me like, okay, you're still $840. You're still less than the $980. We're talking a $40 difference. You still, and not even talking about power costs, depending where you live and stuff like that, you could be way over $40 of savings in 2 years. And in 2 years, when you're talking about upgrading your computer and stuff like that, my cloud is just being upgraded for me. I don't have to worry about upgrading everything. It's just done for me, right? I was like, all right, well, 2 years, it's right about the same cost. Give or take, it's right about the same cost in 2 years. And now it's time to start looking into upgrades and stuff like that. I was like, well, geez, I mean, cloud might be, as long as latency and being able to play whatever a game I want is solved, I mean, cloud. God damn it. Like, I thought console, like, I had no problem poking at console friends going, ha, the next Xbox just gonna be a little dongle you plug behind your TV. But when it came to PC, I was like, oh no. Oh no. I like having my own computer and building my own. What is this becoming? But then I was like, well, equity though. Like, having my own, I have the equity of it, right? And then I changed my math to factor in the equity. Now, let's say I had that $980 computer, and let's say it held half the value. And I feel like holding half the value, I'm a guy, I've built and sold quite a few computers over the last few years. And a 50% equity on a good new computer is way more than fair math on here. I did 50% on it, but I know this $980 computer I could flip for more than $490 with. No problem at all, even a year from now. Like, hold me to it when you listen to this podcast. So 50% loss in value, I still think is grossly throwing these numbers down. So after 1 year of having your cloud service, you've spent $420. Whereas if I built my computer at $980, yes, it's a $560 difference. So if you're looking at it right away, you're like, 560 difference. I saved $560. My rebuttal to you would be, well, no, because at 1 year you have nothing and I still have a computer. And although I spent $560 more than you, if worst case scenario occurred, I could flip it for $490. So you only saved $70 by having your cloud service. And at the end of the year, you've got nothing. I've got equity. And that's, again, saying that I sold it for half of what I paid to build it, which, again, we know with that math, I could totally do more than that. So I'm really lowballing these numbers. So 1 year of cloud service, you only saved $70 by having this cloud. At 2 years, this is where from 2 years and on the numbers start going. So you spent $840. I spent $980. I have the equity of $490. At 2 years, I have saved $450. Now, I don't think that their data infrastructure is going to change that much over the next couple of years. I'm sure things will adjust and stuff like that. You may get some performance improvements, right? So I felt it was only fair to say that at least the 3 year mark, it's time to upgrade. And 3 years, I can't imagine that their data centers don't upgrade. And obviously, me having my own desktop, I too need to upgrade, right? So at 3 years with you having cloud, you've spent $1,260. And again, you have no equity. You've got nothing. They shut down the service tomorrow. You decide not to subscribe tomorrow. You have nothing. You have spent in the last 3 years $1,260. Okay. Now, let's say in my case, I upgraded my graphics card. And let me skim through my notes real quick. I did my first one was with a graphics card, assuming graphics cards were at $500. Okay. And again, like I just said, I just did the RTX podcast, and $500, like I grossly overdid it with these numbers. So I am shitting on desktop users right now and still going to win against cloud, because at 3 years, even with so what I did was I said with my graphics card, let's say it was cost me $500. Let's say I sold it for $250 and bought a new one for $500. Okay. So I've spent $1,300. And you've spent $1,260. I still have the equity. I say 50% value of my base cost on it. However, that too would have readjusted as well, because now I have the newer card versus the older card that we had. But I just said 50% value of the base cost of my desktop. And that was 490 value. So I am now sitting at 3 years. I have $440 of equity, whereas you have spent $1,260. You've got nothing at the end of the day. I can go flip this computer, $440 the difference. You've spent $1,260. And then it gets worse once you get into 4 years and 5 years. Even so, at 4 years, I didn't do any upgrades on it, but I said at 5 years, let's say I upgraded my CPU and adjusted some other stuff. So 5 years, you've spent $2,100. I've spent $1,650. We both still have the newest equipment. The difference is that now I have equity, a $450 difference. So I've saved between your $2,100 and my $1,650, I have saved $450. And I'm still sitting on a computer that I can go flip for at least $500. Because we set this up as a mid to high end computer. And mid to high end desktops hold $500 values. No problem for quite a while. I've flipped a few of them with 1070s in them and 1060s in them for around $700 right now. So to say $500, I am like grossly lowballing this number. So 5 years of having cloud, you have nothing, and I've sat on equity. So aside from the first year, anything after that, I sit on equity and I have value and I can flip this if I need to, whereas you're stuck with whatever components they comparably tell you that you have. And at any day, like either you don't subscribe anymore or they're not there for you to subscribe anymore, you've got nothing. So I did this math and I sat here and I'm like, this is geared towards people who are just penny wise and dollar dumb. I can't imagine that who in their right mind, who knows anything about anything, could possibly sit here, look at that math, and say that they would rather use a cloud service versus building their own computer. Like this just, the only way in my head was that it's got to be people who just aren't good with their money. Who, for example, I'll talk about my cell phone again. I went prepaid. The reason why I went prepaid was because when I did the math, yes, I have to buy my phone full price up front. However, my plan was so much cheaper that I save hundreds of dollars by doing this. Whereas the previous plan, I didn't have to pay for my phone full price up front. It was broken down, same price as the phone, but it was broken down over 2 years. Okay, I was like, well, hey, that's great. I have to drop a grand on a cell phone right now. It's paid off over 24 months. But then you look at the plan costs, and the plan costs were so much different that I would have essentially bought a whole nother phone. I could almost upgrade two phones. In the 2 year period, it was something like a phone and a half, almost two phones difference on the contract price. Same amount of data, same carrier, literally everything was the same, except it was went from a postpaid account to a prepaid account, right? So, but then again, I spent years on a postpaid account. How many of you guys use prepaid? I'm serious. Go look at Verizon. Go look at your Verizon account. Go compare it to prepaid and go look at the fact you are probably using the Edge program and paying off your phone as opposed to buying it outright. You're paying the same price on your phone, except you're making payments over 2 years as opposed to just paying it outright. But look at your plan difference. It's double, easily double for your plan. I think ours was like $80 for the plan and then like $40 a line. It was mine and my wife's line. So we were paying $160 just on the plan, not to mention the extra $40 a month for the cell phone. I pay $45 a month for my phone. Paid my phone outright. My prepaid is 6 gig plan, unlimited everything else, and I pay $45 a month. That's half of what the base plan was. Forget the extra phones on it. I mean, it's just absurd to look at it. I'm afraid to sit down and do the math on it. So when I look at this cloud, I'm like, this is for people who just can't manage their money. People who are just, they live paycheck to paycheck. They have $40 left in their paycheck at the month that they are able to subscribe for this, or maybe they don't, and they're just going to figure out how to get an extra $40 every month so that they can have this service. But they're people who don't build their own computer because they can't manage their money. You know, you tell them $900 to build their own computer, I don't have $900. Like, if you ask me, like, hey dude, you want to spend $30 a month on something or $900 one time, I'd probably be like, oh, I'll just do it over the month, you know. And so I'm like, this is for people who are terrible with their money. And this is just a terrible infrastructure, terrible system. They should be shameful of themselves. And then this is just, life is great. Isn't it great how life lines up and things happen? Sometimes you get tunnel vision, right? So I sit here and I'm thinking of myself and my own finances, the only things that I do, right? And I'm sitting at the computer and I get a text message from my buddy. I start chatting with him. He actually just bought a low-end gaming desktop. It's got like a 1060 in it. I think it's a dual-core CPU. It's enough to get him started. He was a major console player, saw me on my gaming computer at work all the time, and he's like, I've got to get a gaming computer, right? And so he texts me. He's in college right now, so he certainly doesn't have a ton of money to spend. And I got to thinking of him. I'm like, he'd be that guy. He'd be that guy right there who would want to go and upgrade from having a dual core processor to a 1060 to 6 cores and a 1080. And he'd be the guy to try to figure out how to get $40 a month to have something like this. He'd be that guy. He's in college. He's got debts. He should not be fucking pissing away $40 a month, $420 a year, $840 2 years. By the time he's done with college, $1,200 on a computer service that he's got no equity on. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, no, he's fucking perfect. He's actually perfect for this system. And here's why I thought he was perfect. I did all my math and all my thoughts on somebody who has this every single month, that pays for it every single month. I did not think about this for the person who, in his perfect exact case, who has particular times off from school, who can and wants to sit down and game. He doesn't have the money for a high-end computer. He wants to play on a high-end computer, doesn't have 12 months a year to play on a high-end computer, has a few months a year to play on a high-end computer. And then I got to thinking, he spent about $500 on a desktop, one that isn't as good as what this cloud service is. The cloud service does provide better hardware. He spent more than what he would have done on a year of service from the cloud. And what he could have done was actually when he just had his month off from school, the end of midterms, they're in between semesters, he had about a month off. He could have spent $40. He's got an all right laptop. You know, I don't think it has a dedicated card. And this is where, like, I wish I knew more about Shadow's app and what kind of hardware it really requires. But he's got an all right laptop that I think would be able to handle the encoding and handle the app. I don't see why it wouldn't. He could have spent $40 and had that quality of gameplay better than the desktop that he has now. And then you start thinking summer off. So about 3 months a year. So now we're at maybe $120 a year. So he would have spent about 20% of what he's spent to get this desktop now, the one that he's got to lug back and forth from college because he doesn't leave it in the dorm rooms, right? He takes it back home with him when he leaves. He's just, you live in dorms, man. It's life. It is what it is. You risk having shit happen in your dorms, dude. And having a gaming desktop sitting on your desk and people knowing that you got it, like, shit happens, dude. So he may not want to sit on that equity, right? Because that may be a liability to him as well. And to mention the fact that he spent $500 on it when he could have had better quality gaming for less money. It's like, that's the guy right there. The people who maybe are in between computers, maybe the ones who I talk to, people who they really want to get into PC gaming. And this is where I look back at my buddy. So originally the computer that he bought, it didn't have the 1060 in it, actually. It had a 1050 in it. So he got a dual core CPU and a GTX 1050. And I think, I want to say 500, he might have spent around 400 on it, maybe 500 after his 1060. But he would have been a perfect one to actually have started to build his own computer and use the Shadow service as a way to get gaming now, have quality gaming now, but save up for components as he's using it. And again, you use it when you can. If you can't afford $35 a month for this, like, don't do it. Like, just because it's $35 a month, like, if you can't save that money, like, if you can't use the cloud service and save money to build your own, like, if you're in a position where you cannot physically have a gaming desktop, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the ones who can, but they always complain they don't have the money to be able to do this, right? So if you can save up for it, you should be saving up for components to build your own computer. But you could totally get started with this cloud gaming stuff. I talk to people who don't have gaming computers, who want to build gaming computers, but they're so excited to do it now, they're willing to sacrifice the quality in which they could have by having it sooner. But all they're going to do is, I tell them, I go, you're just going to get this computer now, and a year from now you're going to want to upgrade, whereas if you just waited a few months longer, you could have just built something so much better that you wouldn't have to worry about upgrading for a year or two to come, right? So this is what the cloud is for. The cloud is, cloud gaming's not for me. It's not for people like probably you listening. You probably have a good computer. You probably have a good gaming computer. You're probably looking at getting new components and new parts, right? The cloud's not really for you guys. It's for the people who are just getting started out in gaming, PC gaming. Maybe they don't even know if they want to do PC gaming. Nobody wants to spend $500, $600, $700 on a PC to find out. That's where I've flipped some of my desktops. I've bought desktops from people who thought they wanted to get into PC gaming. Laptops were the biggest ones for me. I've sold a few of those. They bought really expensive laptops because they wanted to be able to game, but they also wanted portability. They found out that they never gamed on it and they could just go get another laptop cheaper, and I would flip a freaking profit on that because I'd be like, well, I can get it off your hands right now, but I'm not spending as much as you did, you know? And then I would use it, wait a few months, wait for somebody else who wanted that gaming laptop, and it was cheaper than retail, but more than what I paid for it, right? So the cloud is for those people who, not sure if you want to get into it, maybe you're in the process of saving up for it, but you want to get started in it now. And with Shadow, from my understanding, you can actually stream from it. You can use a webcam. I don't know exactly how. There's something a little weird that you've got to do with it, but you can stream from it and you can game from it. So people who maybe want to test out the waters on live streaming, but they don't want to invest a couple $1,000s in everything to get started with it. And before you're like, you don't need a couple $1,000s to get into streaming, you need a decent computer, plus monitors and cameras and all that. You're looking at, you know, your $1,000 computer plus all your accessories, you know. So, I mean, streaming gets expensive fast, man. And if I could, if Shadow was a thing when I very first got back into PC gaming and streaming, I feel like I probably would have done Shadow versus building my own, because it I was really excited and wanted to get into it, so I saved up and built a good computer. But I may have tested the water sooner. Maybe I wouldn't have gotten to streaming. Maybe I still would have. I don't know. But it's a stepping stone. I think cloud gaming is not the revolution of PC gaming, but the stepping stone in PC gaming. And that's probably not a perspective anybody else has said. I know I haven't heard anyone else say it. But I think cloud gaming for PCs is the stepping stone of the PC gamer, not the PC gamer's gaming machine. And this is not talking about consoles. I think there's a world difference for consoles. I'm interested to see what consoles do with streaming, with cloud services. I think Sony has something, but they're also working on something else. So I'm very interested to see what consoles do. I don't play consoles, so I don't care. I'm interested to see, but I won't use it. I am a PC master race. I say PC master race because I like to joke with my buddies who are console players. I'm just terrible with the controller. Just really bad with the controller. I suck. I accept it. I am terrible at console gaming. I am console incapable of it. But I like PC gaming. I'm still terrible at that, but at least I can do whatever I want with my computer. So that was cloud gaming. Initially, I thought you are insane to even want to use this type of platform. And then I figured out who it was for and probably the best people it's for. And if you're a college student and you need a computer, you want a game, but you also probably shouldn't be gaming every month, this might be something you want to get 1 or 2 months of. And I believe they do have a referral program. So if you're the popular kid in school, which if you're a PC gamer, you're probably not the popular kid in school, but if you've got friends, you might actually be able to cover some of that monthly cost as well too. So that was math that I also didn't put in there about how this could almost be free for you as well. So let me know what you guys think. PC cloud-based gaming, is it the future? Is it going to happen more? Are we going to see more? Is more people going to use this? Cloud-based gaming, console gaming, cloud-based console gaming, are we going to see that? When are we going to see that? Is that going to take over? Is that going to be just mainstream gaming? Are we just all going to have a bunch of consoles and the enthusiasts will build their own computers? Or do you think that, do you agree with me? Do you think that cloud-based PC gaming is just a stepping stone to the master race of becoming the elite PC gamer? Let me know what you guys think. Shoot me a message over on Discord. You can find it at discord.medicx21.com. I'm excited to chat with you guys. If you have ideas on more topics, let me know in the podcast text channel of the room. If you want to see me live, I probably will be burping or picking my nose. You can find me at twitch.tv/medicx21. I forgot my handle. twitch.tv/medicx21. And I look forward to chatting with you guys. If you dig this stuff and you want to do an episode with me, I am looking for people to do debates with. I have a bunch of topics lined up. We can chat, especially if you're an expert in something, because I am ready to get schooled. Let me know. Message me on Discord. I'll see you guys on the next episode.